Welcome back into Bet on Chicago here on WLS 890 AM. You're listening to Mike Palm, Vice President of Operations for Circa and Circa Sports. You can find me on X at Circa Maestro. Well, let's give a little NBA update. Summer League is underway. Ticket sales are good. TV ratings are good. We're seeing plenty of action. But what I want to talk about is what everybody in the NBA seems to be talking about every day. The decision, part eight, or whatever you want to call it. Where will LeBron James go? Where is he going to end up? He has already stated that he is not returning to the Lakers. First of all, I firmly believe he's going to play two more years. Because remember, he said that he can deliver a title to a town by their second year. It takes him a year to understand the team and then to mold it, the changes make. But by year two, he should be able to win a title. So he did win one with the Lakers in the bubble. So let's look at the odds market and then the pros and cons for each franchise that's on his list. I'm going to go with four. I think there are four legitimate choices that where LeBron may end up his next team. Those choices are the Cavs, going back to Cleveland again, the Heat, the Warriors, who I thought were the favorite a few weeks ago. I really believe that. And the 76ers. And you look at the sportsbooks odds, Cleveland is the favorite now. Remember, Golden State was a favorite at like plus 180. Cleveland's a favorite at minus 150. The Heat are plus 420. The Warriors are plus 650. And the 76ers are 13-1. So let's start out. We'll go in the order by favoritism. What are the arguments for Cleveland? Well, it would be a historic third homecoming to Ohio and the ultimate storybook ending to LeBron's career. From a roster standpoint, the Cavaliers offer a competitive young core with Evan Mobley and Darius Garland, and it lets LeBron, at age 41, assume a secondary playmaking role rather than having to carry the offensive load. What are the arguments against? The finances are really tight here. For him to sign, he would have to accept a steep discount, such as a veteran's minimum or a smaller mid-level exception known as an MLE, which might complicate negotiations despite the statement that LeBron made that he values meaningful basketball over a maximum payday. Here's my other argument against Cleveland. Does his wife want to live where it's cold? Remember, they're based in LA. All right, second choice at plus 420 are the Miami Heat. This would be a homecoming. Now, he didn't grow up in Miami, but remember, he won a title with the Dream Team in Miami. This would be a reunion with his head coach, Eric Spoelstra, and of course, Pat Riley. And the championship culture that those two provide. You've got Bam Adebayo flanking him. You've got an elite defensive infrastructure. And I think that protects LeBron's defensive limitations that anyone would have going into their 24th NBA season. What's the argument against Miami? It'll be the same argument against Philly, but the Eastern Conference looks fiercely competitive. And that's not to say the West. The West has a few giants. I think there may be more depth to the East. The Heat's half-court offense, let's face it, it's stagnated in recent seasons. And maybe LeBron does not want to go through that kind of a half-court game that Spoelstra likes to play. It can be a grueling physical style that the Heat culture demands on a nightly basis. Third choice, and this is what I would have told you I really believed, was Golden State. They're currently at plus 650. The basketball world has long fantasized, or maybe that's too strong a word, dreamed of a LeBron-Steph Curry partnership, fresh off the chemistry of winning the 2024 Olympic gold medal in Paris. Curry has very publicly lobbied for the pairing, and I think the Warriors' motion offense of the four teams that we're considering here is probably the easiest, most scoring efficient offense that he will see in his entire career. Another argument for is I don't think his family has to leave the base of operations in LA. I don't think they move out of LA if he goes to San Francisco. I think they make those flights, which I think is a big positive. Remember, the wife will have a driving factor in this decision. What's the argument against Golden State? Well, they've got an aging roster with Curry and with Draymond Green. If you look at it from a basketball perspective, the analytics people think that this is just a really old roster. And how could this roster be expected to stay healthy in a competitive Western Conference? All right, legit. And then the Sixers are really lobbying hard for LeBron. It's a team publicly. I mean, they're really making the argument for LeBron. They have the salary cap flexibility to sign him comfortably without a massive financial sacrifice, especially with moving Paul George to Boston. You've got Embiid, right? You've got Maxey and Jaylen Brown and LeBron. I think that's probably, you would say, the most talented starting five that he would land in. What are the arguments against? Well, Embiid's always injured. I think that's one of the arguments. And so can you count that as the most talented starting five if Embiid is not available, especially if he's not available in the playoffs? Sixers think they're a win now, right now culture. Obviously, the Knicks were the defending champions. And so you've got a defending champion come out of the East. Detroit had some injury problems, but they posted the best regular season record. You've got a Celtics team that, you know, Brad Stevens thinks is better. He's got more salary cap flexibility with this team now that he moved Jaylen Brown. You've got Cleveland if he does land there. It's very interesting of where LeBron wants to go. When you look at what LeBron produced in his last year with the Lakers, you then try to extrapolate that into what can he produce and which of these spots will enhance or challenge those stats. He averaged 20.9 points per game in the regular season and 23 in the playoffs, 7.2 assists in both, 6.1 rebounds per game in the regular season, 6.7 in the playoffs, 1.2 steals per game, blocks about a half a game. Played 33 minutes a game in the regular season. 38, think of that, 38 and a half minutes a game in the playoffs. Shot 52% from the field in the regular season, 46% in the playoffs, playing in 60 of the regular season games. So it's an interesting thing, if nothing else. All right, when we return our final segment of the evening, Chris Vasile, who joins the program, and we will talk all things NHL. Bet on Chicago, WLS.
At Liberty Mutual, we love helping people with things like customizing car insurance, just like how we customize a song for you. Catered country tune. Liberty Mutual. Saving your bucks by protecting your truck. Cause Birdie told me to only pay for what I need. Thank you, Limu. Always trust in Limu. With Liberty, 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 Liberty.
Straight Talk Wireless presents Pickup Truck Wisdom.
If you're only good to your new friends, you're not going to have any old ones. Straight Talk gets it. That's why new and existing customers get free 5G phones on Verizon's 5G network. Pretty simple, really. You keep good people by being good people.
Find us at straighttalk.com and Walmart. Straight Talk Wireless. Straightforward. Always. Taxes and fees apply. Plan purchase required for free phone offers. Copyright 2026 Verizon.
Roll it. Pros. Save more on what you need to get the job done right. Right now at Lowe's. Get 15% off select custom entry and interior doors. Plus, save $80 on the DeWalt 20-volt Max 2-tool combo kit. Now just $169. And at the Lowe's Pro Desk, bring us your materials list and get a quote in minutes. Handwritten, a photo, or even a sticky note is all you need. Keep your jobs moving faster and on budget at Lowe's. Valid through 7/8 while supplies last. Selection varies by location.
The Colonel's cooked up a new $10 bucket of the day just for you. Monday, 24 nuggets for $10. Tuesday, 8-piece fried chicken for $10. Wednesday, 10 wings for $10. Thursday, 8 tenders for $10. Friday, 24 nuggets for... Ooh, you guessed it, didn't you? $10.
Find a liquor machine.
The $10 bucket of the day deal. Every weekday, only at KFC. It's finger-licking good.
Prices and participation vary while supplies last. Not available on third-party ordering platforms. Tax extra.
This summer, the honey pepper pimento chicken sandwich and pineapple dragon fruit and Sprite are back at Chick-fil-A.
Girl, it's back. We've been waiting. I love that honey pepper pimento sandwich.
And that pineapple dragon fruit and Sprite is everything. It's got that razzle-dazzle that makes you stop and say, okay, wait a minute.
I love the creaminess of the pimento cheese. It's savory. It's bold. It's flavorful.
Our faves are back.
High five, girl.
Which fan favorite will you choose? Real customers paid for their testimonials.
Welcome back into Bet on Chicago here on WLS 890 AM. And a great surprise for our listeners. Chris Vasile is going to join us for a second segment tonight. Something we haven't really gotten a chance to talk to Chris about in his appearances on the show is the NHL. And I think there's several things I want to talk about. And Chris, you actually have a background playing hockey and played at a professional level. Do you want to share with our listeners your background growing up in hockey?
Yeah, Mike. So I've played hockey all my life. Had some run in the junior ranks in Ontario here. So definitely familiar with the game. Definitely familiar with kind of how teams are, you know, trying to build out their rosters and what's needed to, you know, win championships. So definitely well versed in the NHL aspect of, you know, the playing hockey and kind of, you know, what goes into roster creation from a behind the scenes type atmosphere.
When you look at the sports that you handicap and you bet on and talk about, where does hockey rank amongst those?
Yeah, so hockey, I would say, is probably number three behind soccer, the college ranks for football specifically, and then I would say the NHL is kind of where the top three go. I've been following it all my life, but I think the markets in the NHL have kind of caught up for in terms of, you know, trying to find an edge and create a profitable season. It's definitely a grind, and yeah. Number three, I would rank it.
I think it's a very interesting time in the NHL with the increase in the salary cap. And now we're going to see these offer sheets come in on these restricted free agents. And I mean, the first shot over the salvo was really Philadelphia coming in with this massive offer for Leo Carlson, the tremendous young defenseman for the Ducks. I don't think the Ducks could have ever anticipated an $18 million average annual value contract. Now it's a 5-year deal. Over $80 million of it was in the signing bonus, but you have to average that out, and that's what you have to match. You get 7 days. If they didn't match, he would go to Philly. They would get 4 first round draft picks. I thought it put the Ducks in an almost impossible situation. There was no good answer to what they were going to do, match or not match. They ended up matching. Your thoughts on what they should have done?
Yeah, so this is an interesting decision from the Ducks' perspective. I do think they made the right decision for a couple of reasons. Yes, they would have received 4 first-round draft picks, but Leo Carlson, he's, you know, an elite player at his age. He's not put up the numbers yet, but he's still, a top-two center that teams covet at that position. Those 4 first-round draft picks are not guaranteed to draft a Leo Carlson type player. So I think keeping what you have and what you know you have can, build a roster and keep, you know, morale kind of high in that organization. You know, you obviously don't want to lose a good player, a good piece in the locker room. So yeah, they made the right decision in terms of matching him. It's just the way they didn't match on, or the way they didn't sign him on their terms. That's kind of what rubs everybody the wrong way.
Yeah, I think you're going to see these teams are going to have to be much more aggressive with their young stars, right? So that they make it untenable for these other teams to come in. But now the market is just getting out of hand. I thought when Minnesota gave Kirill Kaprizov $18 million a year, it was ludicrous, right? When the market was probably 12 and a half, maybe 13 tops. And they've painted themselves into a corner now if they're going to try to re-sign Hughes. Here in Chicago, obviously the big news is the Bedard injury. Goes down in practice, has surgery on his left shoulder. Looks like a four-month timetable for his return. Maybe early November. Season starts at the end of September this year in a central division that's so tough. This really puts the Blackhawks in a bad spot. Bedard is one of those restricted free agents we kind of anticipated would get a large offer sheet. Do you think there's one still coming?
I don't think there's one coming for Bedard. The Leo Carlson situation kind of put Chicago in a tough spot. I think Philadelphia cost Chicago another, $2 or $3 million per season through an average cap hit, just based on, Bedard kind of wanting fair value and market value. I don't think anybody's kind of coming for Bedard. I think the elites of the elites are kind of, an unwritten rule of, don't touch him, essentially. Leo Carlson's not there yet, but, I do have, no issue with what Philadelphia did. I think they, utilized the cap as kind of a weapon to force another team's hand. But yeah, I think they definitely cost Chicago a couple million in terms of AAV for Bedard.
I'll give you three other names and you tell me who you think will get an aggressive offer sheet. Adam Fantilli of the Blue Jackets, Brant Clark in LA with the Kings, and right here in Las Vegas, Pavel Dorofeev.
Yeah, you'd have to look at Fantilli in Columbus there. Not exactly sure how they're trying to build out their roster. Like we had the talk with Zach Werenski, possibly wanting out, possibly, wanting to stay. Fantilli's another young guy that can, move the needle for teams that are kind of looking to get over that hump and, add a nice young piece, in the top six of their forward group. I would have him circled that kind of like 1A in terms of, who's next on the list if, teams want to go that route. But Jason Robertson in Dallas is kind of one of those guys that also kind of move the needle too. He's not eligible for an offer sheet in arbitration, which he's currently in. But if things don't get resolved, he might force his way out of Dallas and teams might be, chomping at the bit to get another young center for their team.
It's very strange with Robertson to me because, Dallas is going to pay him, $9.5 million? Seattle offers him $15 million a year for 8 years. No, he says no. I get it. The Kraken seem to me to be a tough organization to want to play for. They've sort of done everything in reverse, and there's very little stability there. And the way they just operate overall is, they haven't been competitive, and they certainly didn't follow the playbook the Knights had as an expansion team. I know there was talk he was gonna meet with Chicago and talk to the Blackhawks about joining Bedard there. Two-part question. Where do you think Robertson ends up? And does the fact that Bill Guerin twice did not choose him for the national team, both in the Four Nations and in the Olympics, hurt the amount of the offer he's going to get?
Yeah, so to answer the first question, I think he'll still end up in Dallas. I think this is a player that's been committed to this organization for, his entire career. Essentially, he's, on record of saying that he does want to stay in Dallas. He just wants fair value compared to, what Mikko Rantanen is getting right now for their team and their salary cap. The kind of personal, I guess, issues, if you will call it that, with, Guerin not selecting him. Yes, it does sting. But at the end of the day, you play to play in the NHL. You play to win the Stanley Cup. Everything on top of that is just kind of cherries on top. And, the way the rosters are constructed for those, Four Nations or Olympic events, there's got to be pieces that fit, across the roster in the 12 forward spots. Unfortunately, Robertson doesn't fit that bill. But, for Dallas, he's a top player. He can play on that top line or center the second line. But I do think he ends up in Dallas. I think they get it done. And it, it is closer to Rantanen when it's all said and done.
Did you grow up a Maple Leafs fan, Chris?
I did, yes. True blue forever, unfortunately.
So I'm intrigued by what they did with their goaltending situation. They deal Joe Woll to get Ersson from Philadelphia. And then they turn around and trade Ersson on the back of course, signing Bobrovsky. I thought Bobrovsky way overplayed his hand in Florida. He wanted six more years. He ends up getting three for $21 million overall from Toronto. You know, you still have Stolarz, who I have dabbled with in the Vezina market. I think Stolarz can be an elite goaltender. Are the Maple Leafs better off today than they were when the season ended in their goaltending situation?
I would say slightly, just because Bobrovsky's proven to be there and show up for big games in the playoffs and kind of throughout the regular season. You know, every goalie has kind of those hot and cold streaks in the regular season, but I think Bobrovsky gives them, you know, a certified one that they haven't had for a very long time. You know, yes, he can be cold, but, you know, he's been there. He's done that. He knows what it takes to kind of get the job done. Obviously, he's going to be playing behind a weaker defensive unit than he has been in Florida for the last couple of seasons. The Leafs are no defensive stalwart by any stretch of the imagination. So, you know, hanging their goalies out to dry is nothing new to the Leafs. I think they're in a kind of a, you know, a win now mode, as kind of ironic as that sounds, with, you know, Marner leaving at the beginning of last season. It's just now or never for them, essentially, before, you know, Matthews eventually forces a way out. But yeah, Bobrovsky gives them a leg up, but not by, not by much. They're not among the contenders yet.
I'll give you another former Toronto goaltender in this question. Through Game 3 of the Stanley Cup Finals, Freddie Anderson was the favorite to win the Conn Smythe. I think he got concussed, whether Caroline ever wants to tell you or not, but obviously he was dealing issues with the Claude Lemieux suicide. And Busby comes in and plays great. Freddie Anderson signed a one-year deal for $2.8 million in Edmonton. Here's a two-part question. Will Anderson be the best goaltender that Edmonton has had during the McDavid-Draisaitl era? And do you think Mike Babcock will take them over the hump to winning a Stanley Cup?
To answer the first part, I think he's the most capable goalie they've had in the McDavid-Draisaitl era. They kind of just seem to be throwing darts in net. It just seems to be kind of everything put up in, you know, in their forward basket and kind of outscore their problems. Anderson does give him a leg up over kind of what they had, you know, in the last two, three, four seasons. In terms of Babcock, you know what? He's got a bad rap. You know, I know he's won the cup. He's won gold medals. He's done all, you know, everything you can do in hockey. But, you know, ultimately, if the players aren't buying in, if the players aren't trusting you, I don't think he's going to make a difference at the end of the day. I think, you know, in a league that's kind of younger, you kind of need more of a, you know, millennial whisperer, if you will. You know, a guy that can kind of relate with the players a little bit more. I know, you know, some of the older guys are going to say that's a little bit soft in the NHL today, but I don't think Babcock kind of gets him over the hump in terms of coaching or, you know, tactics, if you will. You know, he very easily could lose that locker room before they go on and win the cup.
Chris, we really appreciate you coming back for a second segment tonight, and we always appreciate your vast depth of knowledge on all the different sports. Thanks for listening this evening, folks. We'll be back with you next Saturday night. Bet on Chicago, WLS 890 AM.